Hello and welcome to Finding Your North Star, the HGKC podcast series where we talk to business people about their experiences and challenges of innovation. I'm Peter Quintana and I'm delighted to welcome today David Nicholson, co-founder and director of the DNA Worldwide Group, experts in DNA, drug and alcohol testing. So welcome, David.
Hi, Peter.
I know this is about much more than the science for you, so could I start, please, by asking you to give some background to DNA Worldwide and Living DNA, and what led you to found your business?
Absolutely. So in business, we've come to understand there's a couple of different ways you can do business. And for us, it's about what can you deliver that helps people transform their lives? What type of business can you do that really inspires people? And what we found is actually what people are really looking for is in the DNA and drug alcohol industry, is a point of truth. So DNA Worldwide was founded about 15, 16 years ago. It's at a time where everyone in the industry was very scientifically focused, so doing great scientific results, but how do you bridge that information to a consumer, to someone like us who might be needing to use the services? Growing up at school, and a lot of people I know, their understanding of science was limited to you had to be in a white coat and you had to have all these degrees and then it's something really complicated. So really what inspired us to found the business and to set everything up was the fact we saw that there was a real need to deliver something with a depth of care, love and support for people going through situations where they needed DNA to give them a black and white answer about something in their life. So that could be who's the father of the child. It could be to help identify a family relationship for an immigration application, or it could be to show how actually they stopped abusing drugs and alcohol so they can have their children back in a child custody case. That was the initial impetus of the business. As time went on and the whole field of consumer genetics grew, around 2005, 2006, and up until the last sort of 3 or 4 years, we then found a whole new industry emerge, which is all about finding out where you come from in the world, or looking at your health based on your DNA. And again, we said, how do you deliver a product differently? So we were asked by some schools in the north of England to help see if you could use DNA testing to combat the very concept of race. Mm. These are schools where you would have 8-year-old kids walking in saying, if you're not white, you should be shot. These are schools where the amount of extreme behavior was, to anyone who's not in that school system, very abnormal. Yet it's something that's going on across the world where kids pick up on the social views of people around them. And what we found is by delivering a DNA test that allowed you to understand where you come from, how you're totally unique, but you're all connected to everyone around the world, it became the only program that changed kids' perception over race. And it actually reduced the levels of racism and racist behavior. So those were really the bigger picture of why we set up the business. And there's many stories like that since of actually the lives that we touch. It's not just a test. Every product that's sold affects 50 different people. And it's an incredible ripple effect that we see happening across the world.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you particularly about that idea that DNA testing is more about confirming how alike we are than how different we are. And I recognize that's become a real focus and purpose for your business, isn't it? But this idea that we're not separate, I know, is really important to you. And I read that on your website about how you're trying to help people reconnect with themselves and with each other. But we live in a really divided world at the moment, a really divided country in many respects. How do you go about getting that message across? Because it's quite contrary to a lot of the rhetoric we hear from politicians and others right now, isn't it?
I think that what our responsibility to do is to deliver a product and a service that gives people the opportunity to understand the truth. And from that, they're able to make their own decisions and make their own calls. So for us, we're never sitting here saying we want to change people's views on things. What we're simply doing is presenting the fact that genetically, scientifically speaking, we're far more connected than we are separate. And therefore, the question is a bigger question as to why are we choosing to act in these ways, which is very against our very nature of how we all are as people. I think you can go to anywhere in the world, and if you blindfold people and then they have a conversation with each other, there isn't going to be that stereotype. There isn't going to be that that separation in the way that that there is today. We also then have to look at saying, well, in terms of what sells the newspapers and in terms of what people want, people are looking for that drama. And that's very much what we have across the world right now in everything from politics to countries, how people operate. But underneath it, I think the biggest thing that we found is naturally, that's not how we are. You take any kids and you give them results that show how they're connected to everyone else, and they're like, of course, this makes total sense. And most people who take the tests across the world, tests with us or tests with other companies, have that same feeling. They're like, yeah, this just confirms what I know. Does it change what people then do and how everyone then acts is a different question. But therefore, it just firmly says, here is the choice. This is the truth. This is what the science says. Now it's up to all of us. Do we want to live in a society where there is a division, there is the created borders that we've seen so many times now in the news of different maps and different countries? Depending on where you're sitting, where you're based, you will have a different view of the world based on who's writing the rules of where those borders should be written on maps. We do a lot of work across Africa. And again, everyone has a different perception of the lines on the maps and who wrote those lines and what do those lines actually mean. Whereas the reality is we're all part of one humanity. We're all human beings. And therefore, what would the world look like if we actually operated from that way?
Yeah, it's a really strong and positive vision and purpose, isn't it? Because we run a book club, so we were reading recently Simon Sinek's new book, The Infinite Game, where he's talking about businesses being set up for the long term, where their primary focus is not on shareholders but on the benefit that they can bring either to their people or their customers or both. And you know, shareholders, you know, you presumably come across Leaders Eat Last by Sinek as well, and he's very big on that, on why. So it's a conversation that we've been having with our clients and our prospects quite frequently about how you establish business for the long term. So you said you've been going quite a long time already.
Yeah, we're establishing about 2004.
Right.
So I had a number of business ventures before that, and some great successes and some great failures, which was learned heaps, and really came across the way of working, which is saying deliver something that people want, but have a standard of the level that you're going to deliver that to. Mm. So if you take, for instance, the example of a chair, let's build the chair that's going to support people the best. Let's make this the most incredible chair that's there so people could get to sit on this chair when they're doing their work and feel really supported. And then people will copy that and you go on to build the next thing. And that's kind of the philosophy that we've taken into our business, which is keep raising the standards, but not just raising the standards for us because that means we are the most competitive in the market, but actually raise the standards of the entire industry. Mm. That's what we've been doing in the both of the industries we're in. And in the drug testing industry where we're at, we've raised the bar on the quality and the level of details that labs need to go to have basically been set by the way we've operated across that legal system. And that is incredible because that means that actually we're forced to come up with what's next. But it means that everyone who's going through those situations where they need those tests, no one needs to lose out by going to a company that offers a shoddy service. Mm. And so for us, it's very much like, let's grow industries rather than just growing companies. And we're naturally taken care of as a result.
Do you proactively collaborate with your quote unquote competitors in your sector?
To certain degrees, there's competitors, partners that we have and we work with. But otherwise, it's just about raising the bar and saying this is what's possible, and people will follow, and then we come up with what's next, and that's basically how it kind of works. And for us, there's, you know, you need to make profits. I think that's one of the things we learned, is you can't be all, this is about greater good for humanity, and you're not making any money, because that doesn't help anyone. And there's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. And that's needed. I think it's how you deliver that and the quality that you deliver along the way. And for us, it's been about navigating and finding a way in business whereby you can have a very successful, profitable business where all the staff at the end of the day feel deeply supported and alive and healthy, and the customers feel the care that goes into the actual products overall. So everyone wins. For us, it's about making sure everyone wins with the business that's actually delivered.
Yeah, we were looking at Patagonia yesterday. You know, Patagonia, who make the sort of ski wear. I mean, that's a business that's turning over more than $600 million a year and making significant profits. But their focus is very much on protecting the planet, isn't it? Everything they do is around, or a lot of what they do is around protecting the planet. So you're absolutely right. Businesses should make money, but they should make money as a result of their higher purpose, I guess. How do you go about instilling that in the people that you employ, your teams?
So one of the things we found with the people we've been working with and who are employed is they come on board because they want the purpose. They're looking for what's the purpose in life. And that's something that I think every single member of the team connects with and is inspired by and leads. So it's not something, it's something that people can step into, and either they want that or they don't want that. Talking to a few companies over in the US, the biggest challenge is people are like, I want purpose, I want to feel fulfilled, and I want to get X, Y, and Z. And I think it's a challenge for many companies where you have to invent what the purpose is. But when that's ingrained within everything that you do, where you just walk in the office and you can speak to anyone and they know the difference that their job makes to someone's life, then you don't have to do anything about it. It just naturally is there, and you have to foster that. And then make sure that if there's disruptions that come in to try and tamper that or get in the way of the people who are committed to that purpose, that you deal with it straight away.
You've just recently moved to your new purpose-built offices in Frome, haven't you? Which happens to be just around the corner from where I live, which is quite extraordinary, really. But I remember when we met before, just after you came to our innovation roundtable, which must be 3 years ago, something like that now, I think, you're talking about having this aspiration. So what's driven you to do this? Because you've got some really interesting businesses in the Frome Business Centre now, haven't you? And including the ones that we have contact with in there. But what drove you to set that up in the first place?
So we're in an area in Frome, about 20, 30 minutes out of Bath in the southwest. And I think most people work in cities. Most of the offices, the supportive offices, are in cities, in headquarters, London, Bristol, Manchester, wherever that may be. And what you find is there's been a really big shift in the quality of life that people are looking for. And that quality of life means that you've got more and more great people living out in the towns. But the actual facilities to support businesses in that area is significantly lacking. So in Frome, there were a number of companies who were either being forced to move out of the area. They'd either grown a little bit too big, or there was no space, or the space that there was here was what kind of warehouse units. So we never intended to actually have a whole purpose-built office space. That wasn't anything we had in the business plan. But after talking to people in the community, they were like, we need a space. And a lot of businesses said, yeah, we need a space. So for us, we said, well, instead of just taking another office, let's do something that actually supports the entire business community in the area. And let's build something that isn't just a fancy looking office, but it's one where you feel refreshed and revitalized when you come to work. It's one where it's really supportive for you. And we have people commenting, saying they've done a day's work and they feel more refreshed at the end of the day than when they came in the morning. So incredible.
That's really positive.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's saying, well, what we're looking for is there's lots of businesses that are super excited, incredible businesses in the area. And you're kind of, everyone's crammed into offices above shops and difficult to navigate. How do you meet clients from London or international clients coming down, and you're a bit, little bit embarrassed by your office space that you've got because, quite frankly, it doesn't really meet the mark of where you think you should be. And or you've got the high-end, I guess, chicken factory style WeWork offices where you've got a tiny little box and lots of co-working. And really what we've done is saying, actually, let's get some companies who really want to grow. Companies that can see the value in having a quality office space, and let's make that possible. So we've got, we were full pretty much just after launching the site, and we've got a waiting list at the moment and some more spaces that we're looking at opening up. So there's another few offices available, but yeah, it's been incredible to see the response.
That's more offices in your current site, is it? Or are you looking at new sites as well?
At the moment, we're looking at our current site and just how we can open up a few more spaces, because we've got quite a long waiting list now. And there's a few spaces that have potential to open up and to be there for another 3 or 4 companies.
Excellent. Excellent. And do you envisage another one somewhere else, or another one in the Froome area at some point?
Again, if the demand's there and if people are looking for it, then we're open to whatever is needed.
Good. Brilliant. Yeah, well, I've been over there a couple of times, and I can certainly agree that it's a really nice place to work. Really nice place to work. You've done a great job there, actually. So what does the future hold for DNA Worldwide? You talked about building an industry and being, you know, leading the development of that, and the, you know, the next thing and the next thing to keep ahead, to keep being the pioneer in what you're doing. So where do you see yourself in 3 years, 5 years? What's next?
The entire way that people relate to themselves is going through a shift. We're moving from the post-cause era of having a condition, having an illness, and then trying to get that fixed by the doctor, to going to a preventative care system. And either the fact we're forced to do that because financially healthcare systems are struggling, or proactively we're saying, why do we have to put ourselves through the state we put ourselves in? And so what we're seeing with all of the personal genomics and the home testing markets and this, I guess, information era where we can basically find out so much about what's going on with our bodies, what we're seeing is that industry is going to be the next wave that's actually happening. So how do you deliver in that industry where, again, it can be very scientific and very off-putting? How do you deliver something where people can embrace what's actually on offer here, where they can embrace and get a sense of saying, I've got a DNA test, or I've taken a blood test and it's telling me how my body responds to certain things. Now I have the ability to make a change in my lifestyle. And what does that actually do? Does that improve things or not? How do we empower people in that way? So the next few years, I think it's going to be an educative period where people start to understand that actually the way we go about living is going to be very different. And you've already got a lot of millions of people around the world doing this, your early adopters, so to speak, across the world, taking all these tests, understanding, putting two and two together. We all know we should do more exercise, eat better food, and do this, but what's the first thing you can do to make that step going forward? And how do you track that so that actually you feel like, yeah, I could do something about it? How do you combine that with mental health issues so that actually you can look at not only how do you change the patterns of behavior, but what's leading you to those patterns in the first place? And I had a really great example. I had someone, absolutely honest guy, work for us 5-6 years ago, and he would come in the morning and go, David, today I feel really sad, so I'm going to eat this whole loaf of bread. And it's just like totally honest, but it's like, actually, yeah, the issue isn't don't eat the bread. It's like, hey, why are you feeling sad today? What's going on? Mm. It's common sense stuff, but it's stuff that actually we will as a society get to the point, either by being forced because there isn't the funding there to keep picking up the pieces, or by choice to look at how we're living. So I think that's going to be the big area of how everything converges together.
Do you envisage taking a more sort of collaborative or consultative position with institutions like the NHS, for example, or mental health practitioners, helping them using what you do to support them in their processes?
Yeah, so look, as a company, we're a small company. Mm. We're nowhere. There's huge giants out there. And for us, it's all about collaborations and partnerships. And it's been something that's been really strong from the beginning. So wherever it is in the world, those partnerships are, we will be working to support those partnerships. And so those could be with healthcare systems, with private organizations. It's something where we can leverage the technology platforms and leverage the experience we have and deliver those to market in different ways. It's definitely not just us on the front trying to have our billboard on Times Square, because that's just not going to be a reality.
No. It's actually much more inspirational than that, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And you can affect a lot more change and support a lot more people. There's incredible people with incredible ideas in so many different areas, and you can apply the same technology to a huge variety of industries.
Absolutely fascinating, David. I think that seems like a good place to end this conversation. So it remains for me to thank you very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. If you're interested in finding out more about what DNA Worldwide do and how they could help you, please visit their website, which is www.livingdna.com, where you'll find information about how DNA testing could help transform your life. And if you'd like to find out more about how we approach innovation, you can listen to other podcasts and download our white paper called Finding Your North Star from our website, www.hgkc.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and thank you, David, and goodbye.
Thanks very much.